Hello and welcome to our podcast on open access resources. I'm Naomi from the Skills team, and once again I am joined by Holly, the Libraries Repository and Open Access Librarian. That brings us nicely on to open access resources, because if you haven't started your course yet, if you're not registered at the university, you might not be able, well, you won't be able to access the resources that the library, for example, has purchased for students with licensing requirements. So, Holly, tell open access and how open access can help.
Well, I mean, the first question we've got there is, what does it actually mean? And if it's in its sort of truest essence, open access is basically just free access to research literature online. And it's really what it comes down to also is ensuring that that open access research literature is then used by other people to kind of develop that area of research. That comes with a kind of a license aspect, which we won't go into on this podcast. But I think it's an enormously important thing that people have access to research literature, you know. And I think a lot of people assume that because they're not associated with the university, they're not enrolled with the university, they can't access resources because they don't have access to subscriptions to journals. And largely, you know, there is so much open access literature available online now that you don't actually need to be associated with the university. And that is kind of the main goal of the open access movement, is to ensure that the public are actually getting access to this research and the outputs from that research, because, you know, there's a huge amount of money being spent by the public, by the general taxpayer. And a lot of this stuff is still being kept behind a paywall.
Mm.
So if you're a student and you've got a particular interest in a topic, you know, you're going to be able to access quite a wealth of knowledge and literature online for free. And it's becoming more and more prominent now as well. So one of the best ways to kind of search for open access content, moving on to the next question, is really just, I mean, one of the best ways, and this is one of the ways that I usually search for it, is to use Google Scholar.
I was going to ask about Google, because when you say things being widely available on the internet, one automatically thinks of Google or another search engine. But for me, I have to say it's Google that comes to mind. But so tell me about Google Scholar and how that differs from Google.
Google Scholar, we still have to be very careful when we're using it, because there are issues with, in terms of things to do with copyright and licensing. You know, people tend to post copies of their articles online because they think that they retain copyright to those articles, when in a lot of cases they don't. So they end up posting things online which could be a breach of these copyright rules and regulations. But there are a lot of ways in which Google Scholar can be useful. So, for example, Eudora, which is the University of Derby's research archive, is indexed by Google Scholar. So let's say I publish a research article and I deposit it into Eudora. When I do a search for that article online, or maybe I do a search for a theme which relates to the topic that I've written my article on, it will automatically come up as available as a PDF, free to download on Google Scholar. And then you'll literally be able to click on the PDF link and it will download to your desktop. Mm. So, you know, and there's one really good way of finding open access literature as well, particularly stuff that's been deposited in repositories, and that's to use a service, an online service called Core, C-O-R-E, which basically aggregates, it's the largest online aggregation of research literature. It's got millions of articles in there for free. And anybody
can
access
that. So when you say aggregation, do you mean it can search them?
Yeah, so it's basically like a big online database. So you might put in a term or a keyword, or you might know the title of the article that you're looking for, and it will search across every single platform in the world and pull that data through. And if there's a free version online, it will find it for you.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of the tools actually they're going to be using to monitor compliance for REF. So it's a really recognised, reliable tool, and I'd recommend anybody who's looking for research literature for free to use that tool.
So how do I get it? Core, you said it was called. So I'm now going to go to Google and put in core. Oh, it comes up.
Yeah.
core.ac.uk.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's a fantastic resource.
So our repository, as you were saying, is called Eudora. And that holds research done by staff and PhD students at the University of Derby. Is that right?
That's correct, yes. Yeah. We have now over 5,000 outputs in there. So quite a lot of information. We have an open access policy which requires our staff and researchers and research students to deposit their outputs in Eudora. Mm-hmm. It's a great way, you know, to get a feel for what we're doing at Derby.
Yeah.
And predominantly what these repositories are, you know, a showcase for research. REF has this requirement for open access, but really what we're trying to do is we're trying to showcase our research. We want it to disseminate to a wide ranging audience of people in all different countries from all different backgrounds. And, you know, it's one of the key ways to do that at Derby, I think, to use Eudora.
So for someone that's applying for a course here or maybe just started their course here, it can be a really good way to see what's going on in the department that you're studying or in the area that you're studying or that you're wanting to study at this moment, so you can look and see what research is being done. And that can be fascinating.
Yeah, it can be fascinating. And, you know, if you're a person that has a particular interest in a particular area, especially perhaps if you're somebody looking to do a PhD at Derby, you can look at the different departments and you can see what the types of research are being done in your own subject area. And that could have a kind of a key outcome for whether you choose to study at Derby or not, you know.
Hmm.
But if you're an undergraduate student, it's a great way to find out more about, you know, the staff and what they're doing as well. The kinds of things you might be taught whilst you're studying at Derby as well. So I think it has benefits for a range of students.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were talking earlier about how the best way or one of the best ways that you can develop your skills of reading for university is to practice. And these open access resources, these resources in Eudora, are a really good way of getting on and doing that practice, finding things to practice on. Really, really valuable resources that we've got.
Yes, they are. And, you know, I still use open access resources now because I've got particular interest that I'm interested in reading up on, and I know I can just go online, I can look things up, and it's like I'm going to find something free that I can read and enjoy.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
I think that brings it to the end of our plan. Did you have any other things that you felt you needed to say, Holly?
Just to say, if you did want to access Eudora, you can just Google it. It's usually the first hit on the list. You don't even
How's it spelled?
Eudora.
And it stands for, it's University of Derby Online
Research Archive.
Research Archive.
Yes.
and you'd say just Googling it is the best way to get to it.
Yeah, if you're not, you know, if you're a member of staff, there's other ways you can get into it, or if you're a student, you can go through the ID homepages and it's on there. But, I mean, the quickest way is just to Google it. You don't need to log in. You can search it by author, or we've got two main collections in there. One's research publications, so that's everything that's been submitted from our researchers, all sorts of things. We've got, you know, journal articles in there, book chapters, books, exhibitions from our arts and therapeutic arts team. So there's just such a such a plethora of information in there.
Mm.
Please do access it.
Yeah, there's options to log in, but that you don't need to do that. You don't need to register. You don't need to log in.
No, you don't need to do anything like that. You can access the information in there for free. You know, there might be an occasion where there's a lock on the document because there's copyright issues to consider. But most of the stuff in there you should be able to download.
That brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you very much, Holly, for joining us for this podcast, and goodbye.